case. All right. All right. So in John chapter 2, Jesus enters the scene and he does his first miracle. Anybody know what his first miracle is? There we go. All right, everybody saying it. He turns water into wine. Okay? So when he burst onto the scene, his first miracle is that he turns water into wine. And he is about 30 years old when that happens. We know that from Luke chapter 3, where it says that in verse 23, it says that he began his ministry when he was about 30 years old. So this is his first miracle. He turns water into wine. And I believe it's an honor thing. As we talked about honor before, his mother seemed to be very much involved in this. His whole family, we read, is there. And if you were to run out of wine at a wedding, it was terribly dishonoring. And it was just a mark against that family that they could not or did not prepare well. And so Jesus turns water into wine. And it's because of this, his mother, Mary, goes up to him and essentially says this, "Jesus, we have a problem, and I know you can fix it." And it's like, "But wait a minute, I haven't done anything. It's not even my time." And she's like, "But we have a problem. And I know you, and I know you can fix it." Oh man, if we ever get that about Jesus. That there is a problem, but Jesus, I know you can fix it. If there's a problem in your life today, I will tell you this, go to Jesus. I promise you, he can fix it. And so that's his first miracle. Now, if you're looking at Scripture, we have not heard from Jesus in 18 years. Do you realize that? When he comes on the scene at age 30 and does his first miracle, we have not heard from him in 18 years. The last time we've heard from Jesus in Scripture was when he was 12 years old and his parents took him to the temple. In verse 52 of Luke chapter 2, this is all we know about 18 years of Jesus' life. It says, "And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." That's all we know. 18 years worth of Jesus' life, we don't know what happened. There's some interesting things, though. At the age of 13, the Jewish culture would have a bar mitzvah for a boy, and he would become a man at that date. They would say that he moved out of being a boy and into a man. So it's interesting that we lose track of him at the age of 12. And then we pick up at the age of 30, which the age of 30 is the age that you would have been old enough to become a priest in the temple. And so it's like we lose him as he becomes a man, and we pick him up at the moment that he's old enough to become a priest. We know that somehow he's referred to as a carpenter, and so he's apparently out building something in the skill of carpentry, but we do not know what he is doing. It's called the lost years of Jesus' life. It's called the silent years or the missing years of Jesus. What in the world was he doing? All we know is this. Look at it again. Luke chapter 2, verse 52. "And Jesus kept increasing in" what? "In wisdom." I really want to preach a message on wisdom one day. I hope God will let me. Man, we talk about all kinds of things in the world. When's the last time you heard anybody preach about wisdom? Maybe it's because we don't think we're qualified, I guess. Yeah. But we just don't talk enough about the wisdom that comes from God. I think so many times we get in the situations that we're in because of a lack of wisdom. You know, wisdom is the application of knowledge. There's a lot of knowledge in the world today. I can Google and find out stuff that I shouldn't know. You know, just there's all kind of knowledge out there. But where is wisdom? Jesus is growing in wisdom, and he's growing in stature, and he's growing in favor with God and man. And so I just want to challenge you today that if Jesus grew in these things, then we should too. And the message today is that we've been on a series on faith, is that we have to have faith that the Christian life is about growing. And it's not just about popping onto the scene and becoming this great and magnificent Christian all in one fell swoop. There's probably some of you out there today thinking, I just can't be like, and you've got somebody in your mind. I can't be like Jesus, or I can't be like Paul, or I can't be like one of these folks in the church that I see. And it could be because you think you've got to instantly become that person. And I want to take some of that load of weight that's unduly on you and say, if Jesus grew in these things, you can too. So wherever you are today, just begin to grow. I started thinking about what Jesus was doing. And I believe that it is safe to say that if he is growing in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God, then he is spending time with the Father. Whatever he's doing, he is spending time. And if he's doing it as a carpenter, then you can too. I know a little bit about the carpentry business. And in carpentry, I think it is this. It is the business of handling problems. That's what it is. Is anybody in that business? That's what carpentry is. It's just one problem after the other, and you're in charge of trying to fix it and settle it and straighten it out. Some of you say, that sounds like the job I'm in. Well, guess what? You can grow in wisdom and stature in the midst of those difficult situations, because that's what Jesus was doing. He knew the Father, and he was developing a trust and an obedience to the Father. That when he comes on the scene, it says that he does what he sees the Father do, and he says what he sees the Father say. Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 10, it's the Lord's Prayer. And he says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you see that? Some people believe that it is so difficult to figure out how to hear God and how to trust him and how to obey. And what is the will of God in a particular situation? What is the will of God? And here it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The simplicity of knowing the will of God is this. What is God doing in heaven? That's what he wants here on earth. Do you see that? What is the will of God for the earth? He wants the earth to look like heaven. That's why he left you here. When Jesus came, he was establishing the kingdom here on earth. So many Christians, we want to get saved and we want to sit back and just white knuckle this thing until we die and we get to heaven and we think Jesus is going to fix everything. It's amazing that when you look and there are people who are hungry in the Bible, what does Jesus say? He says, you feed them. What did he do when he looked at the disciples and there was a bunch of hungry people? He said, you feed them. Then before he leaves, he tells them, he said, you heal the sick. Oh, that'll mess up your theology, won't it? You heal the sick. Some men say, I can't heal anybody. It's just Jesus going to do what Jesus is going to do. And I'm like, yeah, but the Word of God is just an inconvenient truth at this point, isn't it? You know, it's sort of an inconvenience that he said, you do it. And so what is the will of God? It is that whatever is going on in heaven is established here on earth. Man, I want to get off on a tangent so bad. I feel it going in that direction. Can you feel it pulling me in that direction? Yeah, I might as well. I might as well. There's always this thing, and we always go to healing for whatever reason. It's because I think it's the one that we struggle with the most. You know, it's what is God's will. And I'll tell you this, it got real easy for me to start praying for people who were sick when I said, God, what is your will on earth as it is in heaven? Well, in heaven there's no sickness, and there's no disease, and there are no broken relationships. And there is no lack. And so if I look into heaven and I see that, and then if my prayer is supposed to be, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, then it really doesn't take me very long now if somebody says, what do you think God's will is? I'm sick. I'm like, it's for you to be well. That's God's will for you. And so today, I'm going to go ahead and establish something very early on. If you are sick, if you are in need, then I want you to come at the end. We're going to dismiss everybody. We're not going to make a spectacle of this. But I want you to come, and if you're sick, then God's going to heal you. In fact, he says, for us to heal you. And so we're going to do that. And some of you will say, how dare you say that? To tell people to come down and they'll be healed. What would you rather me do? Y'all, at the end of the service, we're going to pray for you if you're sick. Now, you're not going to get healed. Okay? We've done this thousands of times. We know that you're not going to get healed. Okay? but we're doing it because it's sort of like residue from our Christian past, you know. And we can't bear to break with tradition of praying. So we're going to pray. Nothing's going to happen. Nothing ever happens. But we're going to pray. And then after that and nothing happens, then we're going to make excuses about why it didn't happen. And we're going to convince ourselves that the biggest thing for us to do is to just somehow grin and bear it. And just white-knuckle this thing through the end. Those are the two options. You ever thought about that when you pray? Either God's going to do something or he's not going to do something. Now, which one do you want to believe in? James says that if you pray, pray believing. Don't pray at all. So I figured I'd just go on and make a declaration. I don't know if that offends you this morning or not, but who I'm most interested in the moment is pleasing my Father. And he said, Kevin, at some point you've got to draw a line in the sand. You've got to take a stand for something. You know? So today, if any of that applies, you come down, and this good God that we've been talking about, he's going to do something special in your life today. Now, some of you say, well, what happens if we do and nothing happens? There you go again. There you go again. Look, you can stand and watch. Just don't get in the way. Right? All right? If you pray, pray believing that something's going to happen. Jesus was spending time, and he was growing. And so when a situation happened, he knew what to do ahead of time. He knew what to do. There is so much room for us to grow. We may not be at a place where we want to grab somebody and say, Lord, the Lord is going to heal you right now. We may not be in that place, but I can tell you that I believe we can grow into it. And because we don't see ourselves as growing, we miss out on some opportunities. We get in trouble with situations financially, and what do? Oh, we pray then, don't we? Oh, yes, if we haven't prayed in a long time, just we'll let the finances get a little shaky. And then everybody starts praying. And we're praying for a miracle. We're praying for an intervention. And I would say that God would have you move beyond that crisis. I've been saying this a lot, so I'm going to say it even more. There is crisis faith, and then there is abiding faith. Crisis faith moves from one crisis to the next, just like fires, putting out fires. And we are not meant to live that kind of life. We are meant to live in abiding faith, the faith that Jesus had that says, I am prepared before the situation arises. Now, how does that apply to our finances? Do you realize the Bible has a lot to say about finances? It has a lot to say. And there are so many times that we simply will not get into the Word and see what He has to say about finances. And it's because we're not walking in faith in the daily areas of finances that we get to crisis moments in finances. Does that make sense? And what I would tell you is, go back and look at what the Bible says about finances in general and begin to apply those truths to your life. And it's amazing the kind of authority you can build in that area. What about health? There are so many things that God has to say about health and how to live. And I just wonder, and we're getting ready to have ice cream and pizza, and I know that. But I wonder if we would go back and grab some of the principles about health in Scripture, maybe we wouldn't be so sick. Oh, I would have gone to meddling now. I know. Now, I will say that the Jews had these festival times, and they would just eat a lot and have a big old time. And this is a festival we're getting ready to have out here, okay? Relationships. There is so much that God wants to say about relationships, but we'll wait till one gets on the rocks before we ever turn to the Word. Do you see what I'm saying? We can grow in faith, that we can know what God says about relationships, and maybe they won't get to broken. Or maybe if they are at broken in somebody else's life, we will know what to do. It's very difficult to know what to do when you're in the midst of the storm. But if you can know it ahead of time, and decisions, how to make decisions in life, to where there is this everyday reliance on the Father. An everyday reliance. That's why we have to have experiences. That's why we tell the stories. Now, you may have some silent years. You remember I said that there was 18 years of silence. You may have some silent years, and you may need them to where you will draw near to God before there is a problem. In fact, I want to call some of you and invite you into this, that if you will take advantage of the silent years when nobody's watching, when there is no crisis, when there is no situation that is just urgent. I'm looking for somebody. The Holy Spirit is looking for somebody. Maybe you're the one that you'll do the hard work in the quiet moments, in the silent moments, in the moments when nobody is looking. And you'll say, you know what? I'm tired of the poverty that is in our area. I'm going to look into the Word of God and see what God has to say about it. I'm tired of broken homes and broken relationships. And so I'm going to get in the Word of God alone when nobody's watching. And I'm going to see what God has to say about it. I'm tired of the fact that there are so many people who do not know how to make a godly decision. It was one of the things, some of you are from Horizons, and it was one of the greatest experiences of my life of helping to establish that, what was then a preschool, and it grew into a school, and it was one of the greatest privileges of my life is because I realized this. Most Christians do not make decisions any differently than the world. Do you realize that? Most of our businesses, even though they may be run by a Christian, they don't look any different than the world. Most of the decisions that we make them just like the world makes them. And I said, you know what? Somehow we got to figure out a way to do that differently. And we got to pursue God. And we got to figure out what God wants to say. And y'all, we made some mistakes. I just want to tell you, we made mistakes along the way. I don't know if y'all got that cleaned up since I'm gone or not, but we made some mistakes. But here is what we always were striving for. We were trying to figure out what God wanted. And we were trying to do it in the right way. And so I'm calling some of you out. And I'm saying, will you run your business? Will you run your job? Will you run your family in secret based on the Word of God? And will you grow in grace? And will you grow in stature with God? And some of you, I need to speak to you for a minute because you think, my silent years, you don't know what I've done. And so I'm disqualified because so many things are broken that my silent years, I would just rather forget about them. I got good news for you. You see, one of the names of Jesus, his name is Redeemer. And he can redeem the times. And so you may be looking back at your past and think, I have wasted so much time. Anybody here got any regrets? That's why I love that song. It says, I don't have time for regrets anymore because I'm so convinced of how much He loves me. Do you realize, I want you to just lay your regrets down today because if you will pursue God, let me tell you what He will do. He will redeem the time that you've lost. He can multiply that time in your life and He will take those lumps and those bumps and those bruises and those mistakes and rather than them be scars, He turns them into like this crystal that's been etched, and everybody will look at you and go, oh, she's so beautiful. She's so beautiful. You know, and you think they're scars, but Jesus is turning them into crystal. And when people look at you, they don't see you based on that broken past. What they'll look at you and go, oh, my goodness, she's beautiful. Oh, look at that guy. He's amazing. I've got a friend. When he was younger, he was mean. And he would fight, and many people don't even know that. I'm not going to bring up his name because I don't know that I have his permission. I don't think he would mind, but I'll tell people sometimes that know him real well. It's like, did you know him a long time ago? They're like, no. I'm like, ooh, he was mean. Oh, he would fight you in a minute. And they're like, oh, no, not him. And I just love that reaction. Oh, no, not him. God will take wherever you are, and He will redeem that in you, and He will use it for His glory. And so there is no lost time when it comes to God. So let's close in this way. Our prayer should be on earth as it is in heaven. We should be able to grow in the wisdom and the grace of God so that more and more people will say, go to you. Because if you go to them, they will know what to do. It's go to Kim. She will know what to do. Go to Marie. She will know what to do. Go to Jason. He will know what to do. Go to Natalie. She will know what to do. Go to Chris. She will know what to do. How do you get there? Not all at once, but you can grow into it. Are you willing to? Are you willing to grow in it when nobody's watching? Some of you are really young and you think you got to wait until you get older to do that. Man, amazing. What an amazing thing if we could plant some of you young people in some of our schools across here. You know, teachers, I mean, they can do a little bit, right? But amazing, what an amazing thing if we planted you guys and people said, go to them and talk to them. He grew in favor. He grew in stature. He grew in wisdom. Stand with me. Much of what we do is about sending people out. And so every week, I just need to send you out. And I need you to say, what is God's will for this situation? And then do it. And so that's what I want to pray of you right now. Father, thank you that this week, more than ever, every person who hears my voice, you would say oftentimes in Scripture, he who has ears, let him hear. If anybody heard that today, then there is grace on their life. And so wherever they meet a conflict or a situation or a problem this week, rather than huff and puff and roll our eyes, Lord, we would stop and say, what is your will, Father? Let me see what it looks like in heaven. And then, God, you can use me to make it so here on earth. Lord, send us out to expand the kingdom of God. And Lord, we're going to take a stand today that we're going to stand on your word despite what other people might think, despite the fact that we don't have all the answers right now, despite all the ifs and the buts and the whys. We're just going to stand on your word that if anybody has a need today, you're going to meet that need that you already have in the cross and through the resurrection. And we thank you for it in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. If you are listening to this sermon series and would like to have someone pray for you, or you'd like to ask some questions, or you just need someone to talk to, please feel free to give us a call at 803-581-2070. Thank you.